All right, good morning, welcome. We're glad you're all here this morning. If you're watching online, thanks for being a part. We are back in our series, The End of the Beginning, going through a section of scripture in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and it all starts with this. This is how we get the idea. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the very end. And John 13:1 begins from John 13:1 to 18:1, about 4 to 5 hours in the life of Christ. It's all kind of compact in here, and almost in no other place do we get that kind of picture into the life of Jesus just to see all of that. So we said that the sermon at the beginning is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, and you can read that. The sermon at the end is here, John 13 through 17, and we're kind of making our way through some of this text. And the last time we were here, we were talking about Jesus is the way, trust him, follow him. That's John 14, 6. Probably one of the most famous verses in all of this little section of scripture that we are in today. So I want to look at the next section here. And to do that, I want to read kind of a big section. I know I don't normally do this, but I want to start reading right after this, verse 7, because I think this all goes together in what Jesus is trying to do, even though we're going to focus on verses 16 to 26 and in there pick out a few, because I want you to see what he's talking about with the Holy Spirit. He's going to give a bigger picture here, and if you don't see this whole thing together, then you might just think, well, then he just stops and he starts talking about the Holy Spirit, then he stops again. He's really trying to get them to understand the whole idea that we worship a triune God. They had not thought of it that way, even though scriptures talks about it. We'll talk about that in a moment. So let me just read down through this, beginning verse number 7, all the way to the end of the chapter, and then we're going to pick up a few verses here as we talk about the whole theme he's trying to talk about here. So he's just said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father, this is really important, the Father, because this is what he's going to talk about now. And he says, verse 7, if you've known me, you will know my Father too. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Philip now is going to ask a great question. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be content. And Jesus replied, have I been with you for so long that you have not known me, Philip? The person who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Now, this is really important because he's talking about the whole concept of the Trinity here that we talk about that we're going to pick up here in a moment. So it's not just he picks up on the Holy Spirit. They don't understand that him and the Father are one. They're missing that. And he's like, wait a minute, how can you say, show me the Father? I am the flesh of the Father. You got to connect all that. That's why I want you to see all of it. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father residing in me performs his miraculous deeds. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not believe me, believe because of miraculous deeds themselves. I tell you the solemn truth. The person who believes in me will perform the miraculous deeds that I am doing and will perform greater deeds than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He's just giving us the whole picture here that we see it all together. That's why I'm reading all this today. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you obey my commandments. Then I will ask the Father, here's the third piece, the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he resides with you and will be in you. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will not see me any longer, but you will see me because I live. You will live too. You will know that at that time that I am in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. The person who has my commands and obey them is one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Lord, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, tells us right in the text, said, what has happened that you are not going to reveal yourself to us and to not the world. So you're going to reveal yourself to us, not the world. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and take up residence with him. The person who does not love me does not obey my words, and the word you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things while staying with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will cause you to remember everything I said to you. Now, I know it's a lot. I just like dumped a whole bunch of scripture on you because it's one big theme of understanding the truth that we worship a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? We don't worship three gods. We only worship one. And this is, you need to know, this is really hard. And this is why Jesus took so much time explaining it here. Because how would a Jewish person respond to this? Well, they would go back to Deuteronomy. Wait a minute, don't we say, the Lord our God, the Lord is one? And yet, on the early pages of Scripture, we have a triune God. All you have to do is go to Genesis, right? God created heaven and the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The word is spoken. You see all three. In fact, when he creates us, what does he say? Let us. You know what that is? That's plural. One, that's more than one. It's plural. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So they kind of miss that because, wait a minute, God is one. And I will tell you today, there are still people who struggle with this, and they look at us Christians and they're like, you worship three gods. Why do they do that? Because they look at Old Testament and say, wait a minute, isn't God one? Yes, God is one. We worship three gods, we worship one. And this is important to understand how all of this is coming together in what Jesus is saying. They're not understanding who the Father is because they're missing this idea, this concept. Maybe one of the most simple ways, and I don't know if there's anything really simple, but this is a graph you will find. This is called the shield of the Trinity. It's supposed to help us understand. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit. But, right, the Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Holy Spirit, right? It's telling us we have three distinct persons. God is all of them. We have one God who is in three persons. Now, why is that important? Because what Jesus is going to tell them, yeah, I'm leaving. And they're like, no, don't leave, right? Don't leave. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We want you here. We want you face to face because that's how we like it. You're face to face with us, and that works better. And he's like, no, it's going to be better. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit's going to be in you just like the Holy Spirit has been in me, and the Father has been in me. This is one God. And he's trying to get them to understand it, just like it's important for us. So when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, that is God. We start talking about Jesus, that is God. When we talk about the Father, that is God. It's important for us to understand that. We worship one God in three distinct persons. That helps us understand his role, his function, his work in our life. But you need to know, just like we struggle with it, come on, it's not an easy concept, okay? It's not an easy concept. That was probably the day that took the longest in Bible college and theology class because we're like, what? Okay? Because, right, there's even bigger words to use that just go right over your head and they're just ridiculous because you're trying to understand and picture what this looks like. Just think we worship one God who shows up in three distinct persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And if you can picture that and put that together, that'll help you to understand this passage where Jesus is trying to tell them, yeah, I'm leaving. They're like, don't leave. No, it's going to be better because the same Spirit that's been in me is going to be in you. And that's going to be great. And I'm going to tell you why. So that's what I'd like to do today, tell you why Jesus says this is so important, why we have an advantage because we have the advantage the disciples had of the Holy Spirit. And it's always to think this is something better for us. This is what we were given, that to help us follow Jesus, to live the life, to be empowered to do the things that he's called us to do. It's not about doing it ourselves. It's not about being a little tougher and a little stronger. It's about understanding the Holy Spirit's here to help me to do the things I need to do. Okay? The same Spirit that empowers Jesus will empower them and all who believe. That's what he's trying to get them to understand. You understand it's better. It's better. Jesus would say, what about times where I was gone from you? No, the Holy Spirit will be in you and be a part of you and will dwell in you. Now, three aspects he tells them about. This is what I want to focus on today, because I think it'll help us understand how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And are we allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work? Are we open to him doing his work in our life? Okay? So the first one is advocate. This will show up. Advocate, counselor, comforter. All depends on your translation, okay? Notice the translation I was reading, the NET picks up the word advocate. This is like a really hard word to define, okay? Then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Advocate is the word parakletos, okay? Paraclete, not parakeet, okay? That wouldn't be good, right? We don't want a bird, okay? We need parakletos, an advocate, okay? So this can come alongside of you in court. It has a legal connotation to it. Why? Some translations we use the word advocate, but he's a helper. So counselor fits well. Comforter, because he's going to help us, okay? All of these, he is alongside of you, supporting you. This is really, really big to get. That means what? Well, I don't have to do anything on my own. I'm not just left. That's what he was trying to get the disciples. Disciples, do you understand? I'm leaving, but you're not going to be alone because I'm going to be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you. Do you ever think about that? You are not alone. Even in those moments you think, I'm all alone and nobody understands what it's like, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, I'm right here. I'm right here to help you and to support you and to be your advocate and to be your counselor and to be your comforter. I'm here to do that for you. Why don't you let me do that? Because I've told you all the time, a lot of times we just squelch that because, oh, I got to figure this out on my own. No, that's what the disciples didn't have to do either. They were invited in. No. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to figure this out by yourself. I'm going to be with you and I'm going to help you when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to pray. And you're like, I don't know what to pray. This thing is a mess. I don't know what to do about this thing. Guess what? The Holy Spirit helps us. He is our helper alongside supporting us. And, you know, how many of us, nope, I'm going to do it my own. I don't need any help. Imagine some of the disciples thought that. Oh, no, I don't need any help. I'll do it on their own. I think they realized how little they could do without the Holy Spirit. They're like, no, I need all of you all the time because I'm struggling with this. The Paracletos, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, is there to come alongside of you, to help you, to support you. That is so important to understand. Nothing that Jesus is asking you to do, nothing that Scripture asks us to do, do you do by yourself, under your own power, with no help, just, I guess I got to figure this out. None of that. We have the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we just forget that. Okay, I'm probably not telling you anything new. Some of you have been around a long time. You've been in churches before. You've been reading Scripture for a long time. You know this. But sometimes we just forget. Hey, I'm not doing it on my own. I don't have to figure this out. I don't have to come up with a solution on my own. The Holy Spirit's going to help me and come alongside of me and be there for me. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he resides with you and will be in you. These are Jesus' words. But you're going to know him. He's going to live in you. He's going to reside in you. He's going to be with you. You're not going to do anything apart from him. All you have the help that you need exactly when you need it, because that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Give you everything you need exactly when you need it. Don't try to do it on your own. Thank Jesus that's what he has given us, the Holy Spirit to help us and empower us. The advocate, the paraclete. By the way, John's the only person to use this. He uses it elsewhere. And do you know what he says in 1 John 2:1? Jesus is the paracletos. Wait a minute, I thought you said the Holy Spirit was. He's just, again, putting that all together for us. Wait a minute, we're talking about one God. You know, Jesus is our advocate. And he talks about that in 2:1. And in 1 John 2:1, about if we have sinned, we have an advocate. We have a paracletos who is there to help us. Number two, I didn't know how best to put this, okay? But the only way, I'm going to put it this way, to renew and restore. To renew and restore. Now, what do I mean by that? Look what Jesus says. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and take up residence with him. Isn't that interesting? Now, that word, okay, that word residence is the same word that we read earlier in John 14, where he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. It's the same word. And like, nobody translates it, right? Even in the old one, we talked about that. In my Father's house are many mansions. Nobody then looked around and said, where Jesus said, I'm going to build a mansion in you. No, nobody does that. But it's the same word, because he's trying to get us to understand the same picture. Yes, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and it's going to be awesome. The dwelling place of God is going to be the dwelling place of man. Read it in Revelation. It's a beautiful picture. But until then, guess what? I'm going to take up residence in you. I'm coming to renew and restore you. Do you understand that people who say yes to Jesus, you are the building place of the triune God. When this building was completed, thank you, Rick, for all your work and service on this building, okay? Let me tell you what did not happen. We didn't have a dedication service, okay? And like the temple or the tabernacle, the cloud fell, okay? That didn't happen, okay? This is not the place where God lives. This is the place where God lives. And that's really important to remember. This is the place. This is what Jesus said. We'll take up residence in you. This is the building place of the triune God. In here, he is not. We use this building. This building is incredible and awesome. But this is not where God lives. This is not where God dwells. This is not, okay, what we used to say, God's house. And I understand why we did that. But it's not why we say it, because God, you know, God didn't move in here. Okay? He moved in here when I opened my life to him and took his sacrifice for me as the forgiveness of my sins. He moved in here, and he is building here. So I want you to understand something. Everyone is a fixer-upper, okay? Everyone is a fixer-upper, okay? Every single person, okay? I used to say, we're all works in progress, right? But how much progress in your work, okay? I'm just telling you all this morning, we're all fixer-uppers. Don't you think the Holy Spirit just moved in and said, wow, this place is nice, okay? This place is awesome. I don't have to do a thing to this place. No. In fact, the language in the rest of Scripture, and Paul uses this word twice, is the word renew. He uses it in Romans 12:2 to talk about be renewed, have your mind renewed. Well, guess what? We need our mind renewed. Guess what? It's part of who we are. We need our mind renewed. And he tells Titus there is renewing of the Holy Spirit, and that is a picture, that's a building term that is being used. So are we letting him do that? Are we letting him work in us? Now, that isn't always fun, because guess what? My plan for me and God's plan for me quite often are different. There's quite often difference, okay? And the Holy Spirit's like, no, I want to take out this wall. No, I like that wall, right? No, I need to get rid of this one. We need to get rid of this closet, whatever's inside this closet that you're holding back on and that you're keeping locked. And no, we need to open that closet. That closet needs to get cleaned out. No, don't go in there, okay? That's what a lot of times we push back against, what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in us as fixer-uppers, as people where he's residing, where he's just got to deal with some things. He's got to deal with some attitudes and things. And just think of them as building if it would help you. If you're one of those people, right, who HGTV is your jam, okay, and you'd like to go to Magnolia and see Chip and Joanna, okay, and if you know those names, you know what I'm talking about. If you love them and love what they do, okay, and that's your thing, you understand this probably better than the rest of us, okay? The people that go in have to fix up and tear out. Are you letting the Holy Spirit do that in you? Or are you resisting? I like that. I like that. No, that's shabby. That needs to go. That's run down. That's got issues. Let's get rid of that. I want to build something better within you. And I just wonder, are we even letting him do his work in us? Are we constantly pushing back? No. And we're just not submitting ourselves to the renewer and restorer who would love to work in our lives and get rid of all that stuff that needs to go and be doing as Jesus said. We're going to take up residence within you. We are all fixer-uppers. We are all works in progress. Paul uses that language later on. We're all works in progress. None of us have arrived till we arrive at Jesus. So let him do his work in us and see what he might renew and restore. The third one, it says he'll be a teacher. And for a teacher, he gives us two aspects of it. So watch this. I have spoken these things while staying with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will cause you, I love this, to remember everything I said to you. So the first part is this remind. Do you have anything to be reminded of? I shouldn't talk about my school because high school I didn't do very well, okay? And that was my own fault. So I don't talk about that. In fact, I tell kids, don't do what I did, okay? Don't do what I did, okay? Like, if you were following Jesus at that point, the prayer, oh God, please, I need to pass this test, and you never studied. What's the Holy Spirit supposed to pull that from? The textbook into you, right? You ever thought about it? You didn't think about it. Listen, I didn't think about it back then. I was begging, please, I can't fail this. I get in so much trouble, right? But what's he supposed to pull it from? Do you understand if you are not getting this word into your life on a daily basis, and I don't care how much, get some of it into your life. What is the Holy Spirit going to remind you of if you are not putting yourself in a place where it's coming into your life? Oh, just remind me of something in this book, right? Something in this book. Have you read anything in this book? Because that's how we get reminded, is the Holy Spirit can only remind what we've actually done. That's what Jesus promised. Listen, don't worry, guys. Everything I taught you, right? Some of you, there was no note-taking, okay? They weren't all taking notes. How are we going to remember all this? The Holy Spirit's going to help you remember that. That means when I'm in one of those situations, guess what he does? The Holy Spirit reminds me, hey, remember that passage? Hey, remember that person was going through? Didn't I say I was with them? Didn't I promise I was going to be with you? And you get scripture, right? You get scripture that comes to mind. And sometimes my sister and I will joke because we grew up in church, and sometimes that voice is in King James. I mean, it just is, okay? And you got to sort through all the these and nows, but sometimes that's what happens because that's how you've learned it, and that's how you've memorized it, and you've brought it into your life, and now guess what? The Holy Spirit's got something to remind you of because that's there. There's a second part of this that's really important. And it's something called illumination. So this should be our prayer when we open up Scripture. Light it up. Show me. Show me. Right? That should be our prayer constantly. Because it doesn't matter, and I tell you this all the time. It doesn't matter how many times you've read the story. You pray that prayer, the Holy Spirit lights up something you didn't see. That's what he does. He lights up something you didn't see, shows you something you didn't see. You'll come across something that brings you to something that you didn't see. And I just love how that works. I love how that works. And I'm going to tell you what I love even more. That is not just for pastors, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Well, does illumination only happen in the pastor's study, right? The wind blows through and Ed gets all, no. It doesn't just happen back there, okay? It doesn't just happen there where I'm opening and studying and reading. That's not where it happens. That's not the only place it happens. It happens for all of you. And I'm so grateful because somebody started it, not me. And I love when things start and I have nothing to do with them. So there's this text group of guys in the church, and they'll share devotions and thoughts on different. I love that. Because you know what that is? Illumination. Illumination, and I didn't have to do a thing. And it shows them that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's his job to help us understand. It's his job to show us something new. It's his job to light something up for us and say, read it again. Read it again and see what you find. Because that's what creates, I'm telling you, just an excitement to not go, oh gosh, it's Monday. got to give them something this Sunday, right? That's what creates excitement, because it's not just that, right? It is, I'm gonna find something new that I didn't see before, because the Holy Spirit's going to show me something different than I've ever read before at any point. Because that's how faithful he is to do his job as teacher. That's how faithful he is. And I can just attest that to you, but I'm seeing that happen in that group text, and I love it, seeing that happen and seeing that taking place. And I know many of others are experiencing it too, where God just does that for you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And I know sometimes you get a little concerned because, gosh, you know, this is an old book, and there might be some hard and difficult things. And sometimes I think we just psych ourselves out that we're not going to understand what we're reading. Holy Spirit, help me. Illuminate it. Light it up. Show me. Help me understand the things that I'm reading and the impact and how to apply it to my life. Help us come. I want you to know, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit. Period. You have the Holy Spirit. What you let the Holy Spirit do, that's up to you. I can't control that. Okay. He would love to work in your life in all the ways that we talked about today. Are you letting him do that? Are you letting the Holy Spirit be your advocate, your restorer, and your teacher? I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but sometimes it's the songs on albums that nobody picks up on that I think are really, really good that get skipped over at times. Casting Crowns is very good at that. They will put out a song, and it'll never make it on 107.1. It'll never make the playlist. It'll never come on, but oh my goodness, it's amazing. So they have one called The Change in Me. If you'd like to listen to a song about the Holy Spirit, I would recommend that one, because it talks about all of this. The Spirit is a gentleman waiting at the door within, where he asks me to let you in so you will set me free. Then what? The Spirit is a wrecking ball, right? Because it's got to work. It's got to restore. It's beautiful. And this is how it ends. Your Spirit is my constant friend. You're with me to the very end. And I'll never be alone again. You're the change in me. And if you're tired of things staying the same, you only have to open your life to the Holy Spirit, because he is the change in us. So open up yourselves to that today. We're gonna conclude by singing Great Are You, Lord. The prayer team's going to be over to the side. You can pray with them about anything that's happening in your life. Doesn't have to be about the message. It can be anything that's going on in your life. And we're going to invite you to do that. But I just want you in these moments to invite the Holy Spirit to be the change in you. Be our advocate, be our restorer, and be our teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my first prayer is that you would help us understand this concept of a triune God, because this can be hard and challenging and difficult. That we would know it is God in three persons, blessed Trinity. That we would see, especially in this text, all of that weaving and working together that you have done. But Father, today we want to focus on the third person, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. You are our advocate. You are our restorer. And you are our teacher. I know you are working in the lives of your people. I know you would like to do so much more. Times we're so stubborn and held back that we don't think we need help. And we think we're fine the way we are. And we think we know it all. And those three attitudes destroy your work. So we would ask you today, we want to submit our lives to you. You are our Paracletos, our advocate, our counselor, our comforter. So come beside us and lead us. Walk with us in every place we go this week. That means we need you to walk with us into our workplace tomorrow morning or this afternoon. We need you to walk with us into our schools, into our homes, into every place we go. Holy Spirit, please continue your work in us. For some, it's a wrecking ball that needs to go through because you want to do so much more. Forgive us for holding back and barring doors and telling you no. Today we submit again to yes, restore, take up resonance within us. And then we ask you to teach us. Remind us of things we learned. But Holy Spirit, would you light up your word for us in a way we've never experienced before, which will give us a greater hunger to open it up every day. Pray you work in great and awesome and powerful ways in our hearts and in our lives as we submit ourselves over and over again every day to you and your work in our life. And we will thank you and praise you because we know the change in me comes from you. And we will recognize that. And we'll glorify and praise you. Work in our hearts and our lives in Jesus' name.